Welcome to this rapid reaction, the reaction podcast. This is the shorter version, which we do several times a week, and particularly during the coronavirus crisis, to try and bring listeners and reaction readers up to speed with our latest thinking on how it's all going. I'm Ian Martin, editor of Reaction. I'm joined by Maggie Pagano, executive editor of Reaction. So it's Friday evening, Maggie. I think we deserve a glass of wine. Well, everyone deserves a glass of wine on a Friday evening. A lot has happened this week. I mean, what's your reflection on, and we're going to talk a bit about the Eurozone and the bigger picture American stuff, but what's your view on how things are looking in Britain at the moment?
It suggests the situation is that they seem to have it under control, that we've got all the testing equipment being ordered and being devised as we speak. The ventilators seem to be coming on board. The military have got ready at Excel with an extra hospital. I believe there's one. So it does seem that they're sort of slightly a step ahead of the game this week. I mean, it's obviously very sad that both Boris, Matt Hancock, and indeed Sir Chris Whitty have tested positive. And I think that rather shows the absolute need for testing equipment. And anybody, and I don't know what you feel, Ian, but some of the comments on Twitter about, you know, how come the Prime Minister gets a test? I mean, just so below the belt, just not possible. Mm. But I think it does show that it really is about getting resources on the front foot for all those things that can be done to temper the disease.
I think the I think that's a good distillation of it. They do seem to have, of course, there are various outbreaks of controversy, and a lot of people, some journalists on Twitter, particularly exercised about certain issues, like as not being part of the European Union scheme, and there seems to have been a cock up in Number 10 or Whitehall about how exactly that's happened. All things that will play out in the public inquiry after all of this is over. But more broadly, yes, and I think you mentioned the hospital that's been built by the MOD, by the armed forces. That is a fantastic achievement. And remember when the Chinese state did it, the London media conceit was, look how well organized the Chinese are, we could never do anything like that. And actually, when it came to it, and the British state has made mistakes in the run-up to this, but in 4 days, the army plus other public services working in cooperation effectively got 4,000 hospital beds together and built a makeshift hospital in the East End of London. And there are then plans to do it as well in Birmingham. Birmingham and Manchester's had it ready for the middle of April, if that's when the peak is. So, like you, I'm nervous of saying we're over the worst of it, because we're clearly not. You're approaching the point now where wards will really fill up, and some already are, and it'll be very, very difficult for those dealing with it on the front line. You've been really concerned, though, Maggie, as many of our readers, about the government's response, particularly on the self-employed, which they thought on Thursday evening, they thought that they had dealt with this new scheme, but there's still a lot of unhappiness.
There is, and I think whilst the package is generous, let's start from first base, if you like, it's generous, but I think what they have done is they've overcomplicated something that could have been quite simple. And it was clear that what they didn't want to do was reward those self-employed who are probably quite well off and have a lot of dividends in their companies and perhaps don't need it. Probably at the top, and those who perhaps through fraud or tax avoidance, whatever, that's probably 5 to 10% of the 6 million people who are either sole traders or limited companies. And it's this micro companies that are really might be caught on the hop through this. So what they have said, and they've been quite strict about this, that it is up to trading profits of 50,000. Now, what we're discovering is there are an awful lot of people, one-man bands. I heard of a comedian today who will you know, not earning very much money, but he's got some dividends saved in the company, he will get absolutely nothing. Two young children and a wife who works in digital marketing. Well, it's not much business there. So the feeling is that they've overcomplicated it because they wanted to avoid these people being rewarded, one. Two, it will not be up and running until the end of June. Now, we're now in March. People, freelancers in particular, have lost most of their earnings in March. So you can have March, April, May, and June, 4 months with no income. These people will be, where possible, freezing their mortgage payments, the mortgage holiday relief, probably cancelling as many direct debits and, you know, auxiliary things as possible. So by the time the money comes through in June, they could have racked up, you know, 10,000, 15,000 of monthly income. Then they receive the money, fantastic. But just think that you're going to sit there with a, you know, a small household, perhaps earning 40, 50,000 a year, less, and they're going to have 10, 15,000 of debt. How do they unravel that? So my view right from the beginning was you give 1,500, 2,000 pounds a month flat. You don't even look at what people are earning. And if some of those who earn more are going to get it, well, maybe somebody suggested to me today that when you fill in the form, if you're very, if you're above that limit, you should be given an option by HMRC to give a bonus to the NHS. I think this person had a kind soul. I'm not sure how many people would take that up. But you see my point. They've overcomplicated it for a small majority. And I do think that they have really tried, so I don't want to knock it. But you can just imagine the sort of pointy heads in the Treasury sitting there going, oh, but we've got these dreadful people. They've got, you know, they don't have much in their bank account, but they're not earning very much, but they've got dividends, but they've got assets. They own 50 buy-to-let houses. Well, you know, we might, but you don't want to sacrifice the 90% for the 10%.
Yeah. I wonder if another, and I can't, this is just a suspicion that I have, no more than that. I wonder if there's also not something else at play, which is that if you think that the peak is going to be in a couple of weeks' time, and Professor Neil Ferguson, who's driven quite a lot of this and was in charge of the Imperial study, if you think that the peak comes in roughly mid-April and that something resembling normality, not everyone being allowed out, but sort of gradually decreasing some of the restrictions and certain parts of the economy being allowed to get back to at least even part working. If that was to happen sometime in May, then you might not have to deploy all of that money in June, if you see what I mean. I wonder if that's what explains the time lag rather than the bureaucracy. I think that's a gamble, if that is the thinking, rather than it just being too complicated to deliver before June. I agree with you. I think it would have been cleaner, even if they couldn't instantly get the helicopter money to people, to say that it was coming within 3 weeks to a month, and people at least would have been reassured.
They could have worked with the banks, and the banks, you know, as Barclays has done, said we will not charge on overdrafts. Yeah, there would have been a sort of, I think I can see what you're saying, Ian, but you could have done that a different way. You could have said, we'll give the £1,500 per month and we will review it on a month-by-month basis. So if in May things look brighter, they wouldn't have to do the whole complicated scheme. But if you think about it, most freelancers and self-employed, they're not going to get their business back for 3 to 4 to 5 months.
No.
You know, if it's sort of, you know, if everyone says it's all great, whole nation has been tested and we can all go back again, those people on June the 1st are not going to get that freelance work back maybe for a couple of months.
There are also another thing will be going on in the economy, which is that it will be very difficult to get, once you get the initial burst of people just going to the pub and going out for dinner and just reveling and being outside, once that's out the way, people will hoard resources and will have learned the lesson that cash really matters. And it will be, because people are also, to get those businesses going, someone who works in marketing and they work in travel marketing and digital marketing, well, they need the travel company to be really functioning properly again and selling holidays. And I just don't think people will be spending money in quite the same way. I know that there is a theory that, that you get a very aggressive bounce back. And I hope that's right, but I suspect large numbers of people will have experienced a kind of economic fear, and realized how exposed they are, and realized that they don't have sufficient savings. On top of that, strange things will have happened to house prices. So my concern would be that in the summer people reemerge, but really choose not to spend money. So I know there's already quite a lot of treasury work going into the idea, into notions of how do you kickstart things then, and how do you get business investment going again? You want people to reemerge, not only as consumers, but you want businesses to start then in June and July, thinking, right, well, how do we make our investments and make our plans for the next 6 months or a year?
Well, I have an idea. And it's free for Rishi Sunak. And I do not understand. Well, they've been very busy, but it's something they should look at. And that is, there are people who still have a lot of money and assets. And they would perhaps love to invest in some of these startup small companies that are struggling and will struggle even further. And that is that they should give some really substantial tax incentives, tax break, along the lines of the enterprise investment scheme, Ian. And they could call it the, I don't know, the coronavirus incentive break or whatever. And so you can start, people will feel comfortable and bring people back into the market to help the young generation of companies get going again. Seems like a no-brainer to me.
Yeah, good thought.
But then no one in the Treasury has really had a small business, so they don't necessarily understand things, do they?
Not quite the same, although they are a lot of officials working very, very hard.
Oh yeah, no, I'm not. Don't worry, I'm not knocking them. It's an extraordinary job that they're doing.
No, I wasn't knocking you for knocking them. No, I was just sort of putting it on record in case any of them are listening and are feeling that they've spent the last 3 weeks not going home and trying to get to the bottom of all.
We have to be careful. What they've done is pretty fantastic, and indeed, even Bernie Saunders has said that the British have actually had the best scheme of all.
Oh no, that now makes me think we've done completely the wrong thing.
I tell you what's very interesting is that if you look at the way that some other countries, like the Nordic countries, the completely different approach that they've taken. So you've seen that the Swedes basically don't have a lockdown. I think the only schools are still open, bars are still open, only 500 gatherings of 500 or more being banned, and they are still listening to scientific advice. But neighboring Norway have closed everything 3 weeks ago, and what is very interesting there, it's a different mental approach, is that they now have in 2 weeks the highest unemployment rate that they've had since the 1930s, because their scheme protects the individual, not the company. So there are many basically thousands of small businesses have literally closed, and they are not getting government money, but the individuals are getting very generous employment packages.
Is it interesting? Well, we're going to see in real time over the next 6 months or so which of these approaches work. Tens of millions of people's economic fate is wrapped up in it, but there's also the economic lesson to learn, and we'll study all of that. Just very quickly, and because we're almost out of time, we'll come back next week, shall we, to once we've digested what's happened in the Eurozone, or it's ongoing, and the big picture from the markets. Think fascinating this week as America wakes up to the scale of this thing. There's been a stock market bounce back. Can debate why that is, but it's clearly primarily driven just by the Fed having, and this now seems like a long time ago, but the Fed on Monday, I think, having announced
feels like
that
6 months ago.
Feels like 6 months ago, but announcing that it would really just do whatever it takes in terms of printing, effectively printing any number of dollars required and buying mortgage-backed securities and corporate bonds to just make companies liquid and to give them cash, which is what they need. Things seem to have stabilized a bit, and maybe, and the positive news is that there doesn't seem to be a credit crisis happening. The banks here and there seem to have plenty of money. It's a question of getting them to deploy it to parts of the economy where they can really help. In the Eurozone,
looking pretty tricky.
Yeah, tell me about that. There seems to be a new unity in Southern Europe, and they no longer seem to really be bothered about offending the Germans.
I mean, I think this is the sort of natural split that a lot of people have been predicting for the last 20 years, which is you have a new Northern Eurozone and a different Club Med zone. We're at the European Council meeting last night, as you know, the Germans and the Dutch basically kicked out all plans for a corona bond. And Wolfgang Munchau in his Euro Intelligence newsletter made a very good point that even in the 2008 crisis, you didn't have a political coalition. Whereas now what you're seeing is Italy and Spain are completely together on this and now being joined by Portugal. So Italy, Spain, Portugal, who obviously want some sort of mutualized bond, and Germany, Mark Rutte very clearly stating, and Angela Merkel stating, no way. Now, it's been suggested that maybe the southern states find their own new bond mechanism, but I mean, who on earth would underwrite that? Mm-hmm. So I think that the fact that it's become a political coalition is quite interesting. And they haven't worked out how they're gonna, well, Italy in particular, and the spread of the virus to the south now looks pretty horrendous. And they're going to need a huge reconstruction plan, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Well, listen, so we'll return to all of that next week, and there's lots more to talk about as it unfolds. But this is a rapid reaction podcast, so we're going to wrap things up, and I was going to say go off for a glass of wine. We're having a glass of wine, but go off for another glass of wine.
Exactly. Well, I'm glad, Ian, you're in the same position.
Yeah, and I want to thank all of our subscribers, really, this week, and we've had a huge amount of interest in the site, and the team been producing some really good journalism trying to track this extraordinary story. It's not like nothing any of us have ever lived through, and it's like nothing that most journalists have ever reported on. So thank you for all the people who have been reading the site and listening to this podcast. If you're not a Reaction subscriber, you can actually, for the duration of the crisis, we've lowered the price to £26 for the year. And so you just go onto the site, www.reaction.life, hit the subscribe button, and you'll see that it's half price. And I reiterate in the note that I sent to our subscribers, many of whom have been with us from the start, and we love them, and we very much appreciate that they paid the full price for it, but we would like to expand and broaden our base of subscribers, because a business like Reaction, which depends on its subscribers but also on the events that we do, all of that sort of stuff is curtailed for the moment. So if you're not a Reaction subscriber and you like the journalism that we produce, and you want to support Reaction, go to the site and sign up. But until next week, thank you very much for listening.